This episode of Talkie Talk was recorded in the summer of 2021. Next week, we will be talking about Birdman as our last vault episode. Brand new episodes of Talkie Talk will resume the following week. We have some very exciting episodes coming up, so make sure to follow our podcast for the official return of Talkie Talk. Enjoy the episode. That's why 1984 is so good, because either side you're on, you can say this is like 1984, and then the other side will make fun of you, and then when your party's not in power, then you flip the script again.
Wow, this is just like 1984. I'm listening to things through my iPhone. This is just like 1984.
I read that book for the first time recently, and it's just like not even like thematically really about that. Because like people use it in the context of like, oh, they're trying to force their ideology on me, right? They're trying to make me have the same opinions as them. They're trying to, you know, censor me. And like what 1984 is really about is like...
Are we doing this right now? Are we doing like Nate's book review?
Yes, dude. You did like 8 Harry Potter reviews.
I did like one bit that went halfway to nowhere while you were peeing one time.
That's true, yeah. Well, no. You did it like 5 times and I cut out most of them.
No, I think I stopped after Prisoner of Azkaban. But yeah. I'll go on. I mean, they were pretty good. They were surprisingly good.
That's okay. I'll tell you about 1984 instead and how my reading is more accurate than everybody else's reading.
Yeah.
So the point that it comes to
is
that
for those of you who don't want to hear this, you can just hit like the 30 seconds ahead button a few times.
Hit the 10 minutes.
Yeah, like a bunch of times.
Come on.
But.
It's about how the absence of ideology is the only way to attain ultimate power. That strict ideology and trying to force people into strict ideology always fails in the acquisition of power. What's interesting about the last chapter, let me just finish this.
I'm interested.
All right, so old boy. No, I'm not going to anymore. So old boy fucking sucked. Welcome back to Talkie Talk.
I don't want
to
talk about old boy. I want to talk about...
This is just like 1984, Tyler. You're censoring me.
Yeah, I can't tell if I read 1984 or not.
You can't
tell?
No,
because the line between what I read and what I spark notes'd is so vague.
Well, that's the thing. I think people read the first chapter and they're like, this is about anti-socialism. Because the government's called INGSOC, which is English socialism. You know, Orwell was a socialist, and his point was governments co-opting socialism to oppress people.
I think I'm going to start like rereading high school books because I can't remember like what I actually read.
Right.
Because not only did I spark note some whole books, like Charles Dickens, I didn't even try. Did I ever tell you about when I was in like 7th grade, I was reading To Kill a Mockingbird in independent reading. And we didn't read that year, but my English teacher came up to me and he was like, oh, you shouldn't read that now. You're reading that next year. my English teacher.
Dude, that's how you know the education system's working.
It's so good. He's just like, dude, honestly, like that is such a nice like peek into adulthood where it's just like, your time's more valuable than you think it is.
Yeah.
Just only read that once, dude. Right. Cause like,
it's not that good. None of us like it.
You don't realize till now, but you got like 60 good books in you before you die.
Before you stop reading at age 21.
Yeah, exactly.
It becomes an ordeal to read 20 pages.
You're going to take a big break from like 19 to like 24, and then you'll get back into reading, and you'll tell all your friends who already were reading all the way that you're like getting back into reading.
Yeah,
and they have to pretend like that's really cool for you.
For sure.
And you're like, oh, I'm reading all the classics that I never got into. Do you know how many
classics?
Are you
talking about me right now?
I'm talking about me, but if this
you read Spark Notes every
book. Dude, I finally read Harry Potter, and I actually really enjoyed it. But.
That is one of the, it's in the canon, for sure.
I read fucking 100 Years of Solitude just to flex my huge cock, and then that was right before I read Harry Potter, and
which was better?
Harry Potter.
Welcome back to Talkie Talk, guys. This week we watched Old Boy together. It was cute.
It was so good.
It was very cute. We were sitting next to each other, kissing a little bit, not in a gay way.
No, in a cool way,
but also not in a homophobic way. So it was a little bit in between. We were going to record, but then Tyler...
I had to go home to open my pool. Ladies.
Come on over.
Come on.
Talkie Talk.
We're
going to
bring
party.
It back. We're bringing it. Yeah. Be the first person.
Day.
First 5 people to donate anything above 20 cents will get the secret address to my house that I live at. And you can come.
We'll talk about movies to you.
Yeah.
Don't talk to us.
You don't get to talk.
No.
Only people who if you donate more than $10, you can talk for 30 minutes, which we keep track of at our discretion.
We take notes and then fucking dismantle your whole argument with facts and logic. So
you don't get to come in the pool.
No, you get to watch us.
Yeah.
Two hunks. Old boy. First time I had seen it. Tyler, how many times have you seen it?
I've seen this movie about like 7 times probably, but I watched it. So this is either the 7th or 8th time I've seen it. And I watched it the first 5 times I watched it was all in the span of like 2 weeks because I just kept showing people it over and over again. And it was never bad. It's just always, it's a really good showing people movie. It's got that same feeling that like One Cut of the Dead or like House has. It's just like, it just doesn't, I did the same thing with House, not as many times, but it's just like, it's just like, you can just show it to people and like, it's never boring.
Right. Cause they always like, I feel like especially House, there's like nothing else like it.
Yeah.
And it's cool to see like how
there
people
might be because I've only seen like half of a percent of maybe all the movies I've ever seen. Maybe
I haven't seen anything else like it other than some David Lynch stuff. But even that, it has its own feeling to it. I've seen that movie, I think, like 5 or 6 times. Never gets old. Yeah. If anything, I like it more every time. But anyway, yeah, I have never seen it and I liked it.
You
should
loved
I kick it off?
Yeah, just take it because you're the pure one.
That's true. Yeah. So, okay. I have some thoughts. I want to bounce some things off you for this one.
Okay.
For the audience at home, he just rolled his eyes at me. He looks really sad right now.
I had a small stroke.
I liked it. I thought it was really good. So I liked a ton about it. I thought the acting was great. The action was excellent. And we can dive more into this, but I just want you to know that I really, really liked it. action was really great. The editing was awesome. Really unique.
So fucking good.
There's a lot of cool little twists and turns. But then on the flip side, I felt like some of the twists and turns, like thinking about that movie for a couple of days, I realized like I kind of don't entirely know like what the fuck happened a lot of the time.
Yeah.
And it felt very convoluted, which isn't necessarily a bad thing. And I really liked it moment to moment.
Yeah.
But then thinking back on it, I kind of felt like it sort of progressed in ways that didn't entirely. Maybe I just missed it. There were some parts that I really just like still don't understand and don't entirely know why they were like needed to happen in terms of like what the guy's plan was. There's also that piece of the unreliable narrator where he's been hypnotized, like brainwashed and just rattled from years.
Yeah.
And there's a piece too of like, how much can you trust of what he's telling the hypnotist at the end?
Yeah.
Which for people who haven't seen it, there's a reveal at the end.
Yeah, we're just going to do spoilers.
Huge spoilers for this, I mean, we always do, but this is massive.
If you haven't seen this movie, it's so fucking good that you will still enjoy it. First time I watched it, I think I knew the spoiler because I think I think someone literally told me, was like, you're never going to believe like the plot twist. It's like this.
Why did I do that? I don't get it.
Which is kind of hilarious to be
honest.
It is
funny,
it's a good bit. But
I don't understand it.
It's still one of my favorite movies. But it's so much better if you don't know anything about it going in.
Yeah, I think that's true. I was definitely a little bummed by the fact, because I also got the ending spoiled that he was hypnotized into falling in love and fucking his daughter 15 years after he'd been in prison.
And she's like a dime, so it makes sense. For all of you, for all you at home like rolling your eyes like, I wouldn't do that. It's like, you would.
I think though, my thing with it is that it's tough for me because I don't, like I always hate those fan theories that are like, it was in their head the whole time. But I do wonder how much of it was like didn't actually happen, which I guess doesn't necessarily 100% matter. Just kind of knowing that you're on uneasy footing can work well. I think there are like hints that he might be like lying or not remembering things correctly. Because I remember in the beginning when he's holding the guy, the suicidal guy, by his tie and tells him he needs to tell him his story, which I love that opening.
So good.
And that motif that was carried through it of like holding someone by their tie or like by something else, holding them like right at the edge. There's a part
he holds his sister like kind of in the same way at the end. Girls don't wear ties. So
I remember there's a little bit of stuff when he's narrating that story that he talks about having information that he wouldn't have until after he left. Maybe I just misunderstood this. You've seen it more times than I do. We know that when he's in the cell, he's never told when he's going to leave. But then there's a point where he talks about like knowing he only had a few months left, even though he wouldn't have known that until after.
I think he was talking about being out of there in a month because he was carving his way out into the street.
Mm-hmm.
I think that was it. Are you talking about the part where he's like, I'll be out in a month. I'll be out in a month. I'll be out.
Yeah.
In a month. I think it's because he's carving through the wall.
That would make sense. And they just like release him when he gets to the point where he could escape.
I think it just happens to coincide. I think that's it.
I mean, that's a little convenient, I think.
It doesn't really matter. I mean, he was never
cameras and stuff. It's possible that they were like,
yeah, they definitely
monitoring
knew.
Him.
They definitely knew.
Right, right. And then they released him like to like fuck with his head. They released him as soon as he was gonna escape.
Maybe.
He realizes it was futile.
Yeah, the convenience of it doesn't matter to me because it only like emphasizes the futility of it. So it's not like he was ever going to get out anyway.
Right.
So it's like
of his own accord.
Yeah.
Yeah, I could see that. Okay. But then I think the other piece is that he's talking to the hypnotist at the end. And if I'm remembering correctly, that was the same person who hypnotized him when he was in the facility.
Yeah.
And she says to him, this might like affect your memories or like perception of reality or something. And so I'm wondering if he was actually fucking his daughter, or if he was brainwashed into thinking, or he was convinced that it was.
Nah, there's no way.
There's a scene where she
goes, I see what you're saying. Okay.
Yeah. There's a scene where the girl goes to, I don't know where she was going. I think I missed this, but she goes to some place and asks like, where did his daughter go? And she tells him like, oh, she moved to this other country.
Yeah. She got adopted by like Swedish people or something.
Yeah.
By colonists.
And so was that person who she told that like in on it, or was it like they're later talked into thinking that?
I don't remember. I genuinely don't remember.
Yeah.
Because
that was the main thing that made me think, oh, okay, maybe I misunderstood the spoiler. But that was the moment that I was like, oh, I guess it wouldn't make sense then for her to be his daughter. I guess it's got to be something else.
Mm.
And so I'm wondering if that is maybe like even another layer to it where he gets him to grovel and debase himself and, you know, be completely degraded, even though it maybe wasn't his daughter because his daughter had moved.
I don't think so, because I feel like knowing like Lee Woo Jin's character and just how like obsessive he is with like his idea of truth, I feel like I don't think it would work for him if it wasn't legit. I don't think he would care if he like made him believe he was fucking his daughter. I think the whole point was that he like actually got him to fall in love with like someone he was related to, because that's his whole like shtick.
And yeah, I think that does make sense. I was going to say like in a less blatant way, I'm almost wondering if that was the intention of like Shutter Island, where it's ambiguous whether or not he was actually, if he was just in the conspiracy or if he was imagining part of it, but it, in the end, it doesn't like entirely matter because the result is the same.
Uh-huh.
Maybe not, but I just felt like those couple lines where she says at the end, like this could distort your memories and like understanding of reality. That's when I was kind of like, okay, it seems like they're like re-emphasizing something there.
Yeah. I mean, I think the only thing that really makes me feel like it is the case that it was his real daughter is that the plan is so convoluted and like so executed to a T, and Lee Woo Jin is such an obsessive character that I don't believe he would be satiated by like what could essentially be like second best. I feel like for his whole plan to work, it needs to be like the truth of the matter that he's trying to drive home.
Right.
What a fucking great character.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
He's not even introduced, the bad guy who's, I say Lee Woo Jin because I'm like really cultured and I understand.
I don't remember any of their fucking names.
Lee Woo Jin is the bad guy. Don't be intimidated by my ability to maintain knowledge, because I didn't understand that until like the fifth time I saw it. But
I appreciate the honesty.
The bad guy isn't introduced until like an hour into the movie, maybe even more. And like, he's so, he's not even in that many scenes, and they do such a good job fleshing him out and just giving him, it's so fucking good.
Yeah. No, he was really good. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think a lot of what you could find wrong with this movie mostly could come from the plot, because it is convoluted and it involves suspension of disbelief for like,
right,
you know,
some,
I mean,
pretty heavy suspension of disbelief for a lot
like
of
a huge,
it. Yeah.
A huge plot element is like hypnosis and very specific,
right,
like hypnosis and triggers. And it really depends. If someone said they didn't like the whole movie because of that aspect, I'd be like, that's stupid. If someone was like, I dock points because plot is important to me and I feel like I couldn't suspend my disbelief enough to allow like hypnosis to be such a huge plot point, I'd be like, okay, fair enough.
Yeah. To be honest, I think that's sort of where I'm at. There was so much I liked about it that I think it does dock points, but at the same time, like, I really, really liked the movie.
Yeah.
And, you know, putting that stuff aside, I felt like emotionally that last scene was just like,
it doesn't stop.
So
it's so fucking good.
Yeah.
And there's so many good editing choices. It's so well delivered. It's so fucking fire.
Like, really, like,
so good.
You probably saw it in my face. I was just like,
I didn't. I was like kind of leaning over because I was kind of slightly behind you. So I was like, what's it
fucking? Right, right. I was just there like fucking miserable for the last 20 minutes.
So
even though
it
was done so well.
Yeah.
I was literally just like had a pit in my stomach. So that was done really well. Yeah. I think they made it very impactful because the acting was so good.
Superb. It's fucking great.
Yeah. And just the idea of it is so disturbing.
Yeah. The guy, there's a monologue at the end, basically, for those who haven't seen it, where like so much is developed for the main character in like such a little amount of time. But he has like a whole breakdown that's like 2 to 3 minutes long, probably, where it's just him talking, and it's like fucking insane. It's so brutal. He basically goes through like the 7 stages of grief.
Yeah.
In like all in like one monologue.
Yeah.
And it is absolutely insane. It's so well delivered. It's so well shot. It's well choreographed. Like the set design for the room that the climax takes place in is so fucking
so
great.
Good.
It's fantastic.
So good.
And his delivery is insane. And like, just like, I love, there's a part in it that I love, especially that in the very beginning, when he's first imprisoned, he practices like beating the shit out of the person who imprisoned him. And he has this like monologue part where he's like talking about how they won't even find his body because he's going to eat him he'll eat every part of him.
Right.
And then he says that again when he's trying to like bargain and like get his like strength back. And he's like, he's flying back and forth between the two ends of the spectrum of like, no, I can bring this back. And like, oh fuck, my life is like over. It's irreparable.
Yeah.
And then like, and then one of the moments where he's trying to build himself back up, he uses that line again, but it's so empty
and
destitute
at that point.
It's so crazy. It's so
and I
good.
Think what, I think what really makes that scene even more impactful and makes it like, it informs the fact that he goes back and forth so much is that he's doing it to protect his daughter.
Right.
And it's such a sad and pathetic moment. But in some ways, I feel like that is like his character arc of the one thing he was focused on was his revenge and just killing this guy.
Uh-huh.
And like, if he really wanted to, he could probably still kill him.
Yeah.
But then his daughter would open the box and see.
Right.
So it makes it, you know, he goes back to that threatening, and I think it sinks in like,
yeah, it's just not going to happen. Yeah.
And you know, like it's not this, like, instead of having this sort of disgust about it, he like immediately gets like protective of her again and like takes on that father role, which is like disturbing, but also like kind of beautiful in a way that like it is like it. I really think it is because it's he's gone from this obsession and, you know, being absorbed with himself and not caring who he hurts in the process to like becoming selfless and losing everything and still wanting her to just never know for her own sake. It's not for his sake. It's for her sake.
Yeah.
You know,
there's like the extra added. The epilogue too is like not even, it's not wasted either because like you have this huge, I mean like it's literally like exhausting. The climax is like physically exhausting to watch.
Oh yeah.
Honestly. And
yeah, it's rough.
But then they give you this epilogue where like he decides to have his own memory wiped so that he can forget that she's his daughter too.
Yeah.
And like, and then they can like live kind of happily ever after. And it's just like, it's really this crazy situation where like, not only does nobody win, which is like the classic revenge thing, but then like it goes even further where like the hero takes this extra like horrific step to like make himself kind of win.
Yeah.
Where like he can live like a happy life, but it's just like this, this like huge lie that he has to you know, make for himself.
It's interesting though that even with that, like assuming that he would have known about the option of hypnosis at that point, he wouldn't have had to debase himself so much if he was just like, okay, I'll get my memory wiped, she'll get her memory wiped. To me, it feels like the reason he goes to that low is so that she never has to experience it, even if she would never remember it. Mm-hmm. Like, he doesn't want her to ever have to have gone through that, whether she remembers it or not.
Right.
I mean, you could look at it more cynically, too, and say that like he wanted to be able to brainwash himself into being able to be with her. But I don't know.
Yeah,
I think it's both.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, there is a selfishness to it because he's hiding like the truth from her. Like he's literally like hiding. I mean, he's like Li Wu Jin's whole plan like operated on the idea that she like wouldn't actually know who she is. And like he's continuing that in a way by like not letting her know the truth of who she really is.
But I think a lot of it is for her sake, though.
Yeah.
I think it is like mainly for her sake.
Right. But that's the whole like philosophical aspect of it,
right? Like is it justified to hide it if the truth is so terrible?
It's like kind of in a way it is treating her like somewhat subhuman because it's like she can't handle this knowledge, like she has to be protected from this.
I think
subhuman
it,
is a big way of putting it, but it is like, you know, she has to be protected from this like truth that, I mean, he does it for himself too. He's like, I can't handle this truth, so I need it wiped away.
I think at least the justification behind it is sort of that, you know, like when you're a kid, like your parents don't tell you the truth about everything because,
especially when they fuck you,
they don't,
because they say that they're playing cave explorer.
Hear me out. I think he's sort of, he progresses or just becomes the father role. And I think
that he like never was kind of
right. And I think the reason that he doesn't tell her is because that instinct to like protect her even from the truth kicks in.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. He's clearly wiping away her memory with the knowledge that like once he does, he's going to like be her lover. Like they're going to keep doing that. So he knows it's going to happen after he does it. So a part of him is accepting that like he's going to be both.
Right. Yeah, it's true.
He's doing this fatherly thing that will end up with him like banging her forever.
I do wonder though if it was
until old boy too.
I do wonder though if, and you've seen it more often than me, so probably remember this more than I do, but at the end he goes by himself to get brainwashed, and I wonder if he was like telling her to meet him there or if she just like followed him, and then because he was brainwashed they fell back into
maybe.
It.
I don't know. I'm not sure. I got the vibe that he like brought her there and then was like, wait here.
It's possible.
That's
my
vibe because they're in like the middle of the woods. But yeah, I mean, yeah, you don't know. Who knows?
Yeah. I do remember her saying like,
she says
like what
are you
doing out here?
Yeah.
So it could go. Yeah. I don't know. Maybe mine's more of a stretch. Maybe I'm just trying to make it less devastating.
Fucking imagery in that part though, when they're talking about when she says like, who are you with? And it pans cranes over the footprints in the snow.
Yeah.
And it's just like you almost like can't see them, and they're like kind of they're kind of blended in with this like white nothingness, and it's like,
yeah,
that's fire.
That
it's
was
so
a moment
good.
Too that I wasn't 100% clear on.
Oh, go on.
Was there just one set of footprints implying that the hypnotist wasn't actually there?
I think it's going over. I think he was walking away, right? And then it panned over to the chairs. I'm not sure.
He was standing where he was, and then she asks, who were you with? And then he looks, and it looked like there was one set of footprints.
Yeah.
I'm not 100% sure, though, if that was the intention or not.
But doesn't she find him after he's, like, walked away from the two chairs a little bit? Isn't that, because it's not like the hypnotist walked with him. I think it's his set of footprints. After having walked
from
the chairs.
Yeah, I could be just remembering it. You probably remember it better than I do. I think my memory of it was that he stayed where he was, and then like the camera kind of panned, and his daughter came, and then like when it panned back, she wasn't there. I could be totally wrong, though.
Have to watch it again and pay attention to like where he was when he was doing the exercise, imagining the tree as a column.
Yeah.
Because that would...
That was really good. Yeah.
That was so fucking sick. Yeah, the editing... and this is so fucking good.
Really good, yeah. A lot of cool transitions, especially.
Great transitions, just great, like, fun. It's such a fun movie, which is so weird because it's such a terrible movie.
Yeah. It's at like, least up till the end, it's fun.
Yeah. It's one of the most like disturbing movies I've ever seen, genuinely. Yeah. And it's so fun at the same time.
Yeah.
You don't know even what's... Even the climax, you're like sick, but like you might laugh uncomfortably because you're like, oh...
Yeah, it's so uncomfortable. God. Yeah, I think that's part of the reason why the ending is so impactful too, because there is always that sense of like dread and disgustingness through it. I mean, you know, the character is not a good person and like tries to rape her the first time that he sees her. And,
yeah, it's true.
You know, all the... And there's implications too that he did some like... Because he writes all those books of all the bad shit he did.
Right.
And there's this one scene where his friend says something about like, oh, all those women.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it's like implying that he was like a serial rapist or something.
I don't think so. I think it was implying that he was like joking with him about like the clout he used to tout.
Oh, it could be. Yeah.
Tout is the word I was looking for. Because I think he says like 270-something women or something. I mean...
Yeah. And I was thinking that as being like from the books, but maybe not.
He's clearly not a good guy because he wrote like 15 books of things that he had done wrong. But like also he was locked away for years and years. So like, who knows?
The crime though that he's arrested for in the beginning was like harassing a woman while drunk or like assaulting a woman while drunk.
Oh, yes.
So I wonder if that factors in.
Yeah,
yeah. And the fact that the first thing that he does is try to rape that girl. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, he beats up a gang of kids.
Right. That was a cool
that's
scene.
That's the first thing, yeah.
Dude, that reminds me of the scene from Watchmen when Night Owl and Silk Spectre get jumped and then like beat the shit out of these people. Mm. And that's what like gets them back into being superheroes is the fact that they got to like brutalize
kids. Just like beat the shit out of young people.
And I will say
it's great,
the Watchmen movie, not
so,
too good,
so good, fire movie.
Not too good, but that scene, I almost prefer the way that the movie portrays that scene than the book, because I think the book, like, it shows that it's pretty violent, but I think the movie really emphasizes it because you hear like bones cracking and like people screaming.
See, that's why there should be those little like audio things that they put into like teddy bears in comic books, so that you can
like
hit
it comes
and
with
like,
it.
Yeah, I'll be like, hit it for the bone breaking effect, and be like, Night Owl punches a kid.
It's just like a doll of Rorschach.
Yeah, yeah.
Who's my hero? He's totally a good guy.
He's so cool.
He's not pathetic.
No ambiguity.
Yeah, but he's also not totally irredeemable either, I don't think. But anyway.
He's just like the coolest looking by far. That's the whole thing.
Yeah,
like
really
he
cool
just
looking.
Looks so fucking
cool. Yeah, his costume's great.
Like he's
but
sick.
I love the fact that Alan Moore draws him, gives him the coolest suit and like the coolest air about him.
And
but
he's
then
like the
when
least
he takes
effective.
The mask off, he's just this like scrawny, redhead, ugly
fucking Irish
fucking guy. Yeah. I remember when I was younger, I was like, oh, I don't really like that. But then I read it again, I was like, oh, that's totally intentional.
Yeah,
he just looks like a
sick
fucking weird kid.
Yeah.
You know, after propping himself up with this mask and but anyway.
Okay,
that scene was
so,
really cool.
It's just funny how playful the movie is and this just
some,
like
a lot of good like dark humor.
I love the part where he first breaks into the place where he was imprisoned and he holds like the hammer up, ready to like crack down on that guy's skull, and it just it draws like a dot line towards the other guy's skull.
Dude, that was some like anime shit.
Yeah,
some
well,
like funny anime or like Tom and Jerry shit, honestly.
Yeah, literally. Yeah, it was so funny. It reminds me of in like Pulp Fiction, in that like one part when they John Travolta and Mia Wallace like pull into the place to go to Jack Rabbit Slim's, and she's like, don't be a square, and it like outlines a square, and it just never does that again for like
so
the whole
funny.
movie. So
yeah.
Fucking good.
Yeah.
It's literally
really
like the same thing.
Yeah, it definitely helps establish the tone and kind of make it even, like I said, make it worse in the end because it's got this lighthearted tone some of the time and then it just doesn't.
It works really well though because I think for so much of the movie, the character is on this like high of just like, he's just only on revenge. He's just like beating he's doing like impossible like feats of just like, like always surviving. I mean, he gets like the shit kicked out of him a lot, but he like...
Yeah.
It does a really good job, I feel like, transitioning towards the end of like when he like can't, he's like getting worse and worse at fighting throughout the movie. Like in the like famous hallway scene.
That was fucking one of the best action sequences I've ever seen.
So fucking good.
Really
it's
good.
So I was so glad because that's really famous and I'm really glad that you hadn't seen it.
Yeah.
Like,
I don't do that.
Dude,
I can't because context is so important to making scenes.
Yeah. I mean, it's
impactful.
Just like, It's just like seriously one of the best fucking things I've ever seen. And it's just, it's all, for those who haven't seen it, it's like 2.5 minutes of just like this lateral movement of this like set that they made with like three, it's like a floor, a ceiling, and a wall on the other side.
The action is like both stylized and very realistic.
But it's so good. Yeah.
Like I love how there's like missed punches and like people are like slipping on the floor and shit. Mm-hmm. Like you can tell that like it's definitely like very intricately choreographed.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it feels like messy.
Yeah.
It doesn't feel like clean cut action.
Yeah, it's so dirty. I love how there's a lot of like posturing. They're like, he'll hit the wall with the hammer to try and like back people off.
Right.
And there's not even
like swing it ahead of them a little bit.
And it has the great setup of like, it's in a hallway, so it is congested. So it's not like the Assassin's Creed situation where there's like 12 people encircling this one guy and he's like taking them the fuck out.
I was actually thinking about that, the throne room scene in Star Wars. I liked it at first, probably because I was like high or whatever. But then you pointed out that they just kind of like wait in the back.
Yeah.
And I remember watching this and thinking like, this is great because they literally are all trying to get at him at once.
Yeah, and they can't.
Right.
Yeah.
And being in a hallway makes that feasible.
Yeah.
Because in some ways when you're doing, it's definitely an obstacle you have to overcome when you're doing action scenes of like, okay, why wouldn't they all just like
beat the shit out of him? Yeah.
And you know, some movies do it where, I was just watching Mission Impossible Fallout again yesterday. That movie is fucking great. Like even better than I remembered.
Okay.
Like they're in a crowded room and only some of the people are after them, you know? So it's only like a couple of them are near them at a time. John Wick kind of does that too.
Right.
But it's tough to like have like a pack of people in a fight scene. And this did a good job of it where they're like, they're sort of tripping over each other and like waiting for an opening to get in.
And there is a part that he gets like overwhelmed and they all come like at him and he's like on the ground and then he starts like hitting their toes with the hammer.
I love it.
It's so fucking good. It's just like, I literally had to, this movie does such a great job just like involving you. Cause a lot of good movies that I really enjoy, I'll sit back and watch, especially if they're more like pensive. I'll be like, this movie, I'll just be like fucking gasping. And I was like squirming. I was like, fuck.
We
had just gotten coffee too. So I was a little energized.
Up.
But I was like, holy shit.
No,
like,
yeah.
It was so
I know that
good.
Feeling though, dude.
And it's just such a great scene because it's just so long. It's so well choreographed.
It's maybe
it goes
even
on for
more
a great
than
time.
What you were saying. It's like,
I think
maybe
it's
like 3 or 4 minutes.
No, I think it's 220 or something like that.
That's possible. I think it's just so moment to moment that you like, it just pulls you in so much.
Yeah, it's fucking great. Another fight scene I love in the movie, which has like great editing, is when he's fighting Mr. Han, who is the tiny white-haired man.
Yeah.
He's like a martial artist. Mr. Han is like obviously way better than him in martial arts, so he gets like the shit kicked out of him, but he gets like one good shot in and like punctures Mr. Han's eardrum with a pair of scissors.
Yeah.
So again, it's just like, it's just so dirty. It's such a dirty fucking
really
movie.
Is.
It's great.
Yeah. It's gritty in a way that doesn't feel try hard.
Yeah. It just feels like disgusting.
Yeah.
It just feels like fucking animals like beating the shit out of each other. Yeah. Okay. I love when Mr. Han is like basically going to kill the main guy. He gets him in like this chokehold, but he's like jamming the scissors towards his neck.
Yeah.
And then like Li Wujin is trying to get Mr. Han to stop. He's like halfway across the room and he's like, Mr. Han, but like you can't hear him say Mr. Han. It's just like the audio is like cut out and it's like silent.
Uh-huh.
I love that it's just like, it's just like this absolute silence and it's interrupted by the gunshot when he shoots Mr. Han. And it's so cool.
Dude, real quick. Mission Impossible Fallout literally does the same thing.
Oh, really?
He has this like imagined, because he ends up like having to work with the terrorists to like extract somebody.
Yeah.
I won't spoil it, but, and he has this like imagined scene. So they're trying to get this prisoner from a police like brigade. Mm-hmm. And the scene is like totally silent with this just like kind of like soft like music in the background of him just like helping them slaughter all these police officers. And then the last scene, he like points a gun at the police officer and like lifts his mask
and
like
Tom.
The dude is it's Tom, and like he's the cop is like pleading and he pulls a trigger and it's like boom, and then it goes back to reality.
That's sick.
Yeah,
that's fucking crazy.
Really cool. There's a lot of like really creative stuff.
Yeah.
and there's actually another, he must really like that movie because there's another scene too. You know how Old Boy does those like those wipes to transition scenes and it'll like follow a character?
Yeah.
They literally do that in Mission Impossible. This woman like walks by and then it wipes to the next scene.
Yeah.
So
I mean, who knows I doubt Old Boy was the first to do that.
That's true.
But,
yeah,
but
that's
like,
true.
It's definitely
but it's
just
one of those big movies that I'm yeah, sure and it popularized just, the techniques. Oh, yeah.
It does everything so well too. It's just yeah. like it uses everything so just effectively. I yeah. love that wipe, which probably isn't even a wipe because I think it starts off on a close up of the main character Odesu.
Yeah.
When he's getting hypnotized and he's like imagining the green field. I mean, I don't think it's a wipe, but it's kind of the same thing. It does the right. same effect that all the other wipes do, so I'll like count it similar. But
yeah,
it like cranes over from him. He's like looking right up at the camera, and then it cranes over, and it like reveals like, I mean, like I imagine they must have just set it up like they put a bed in a grass field. Pans over the grass field, shows grass, and then cuts to the fact that he's like in a box in a grass field that is on top of a building. So he's yeah. not really in a grass field.
Right.
Which is like such a great cut. And they say later there's like, how is life in a bigger prison? And it really yeah. does give you that feeling of just like, even when you're out,
right,
you still don't have an understanding of your surroundings, and you're in a prison of like, just, it's just a larger space that you still don't understand and you still right. can't really interact with.
Right. And being so brainwashed cool. and like having all these triggers, it's like, he can't really control his yeah. actions entirely.
It's so sick.
I still have a lot of things to talk about. All right, I'll just throw a couple of things out. I was still questioning whether or not his daughter was like working with them at a certain point, because like she's talking to the person on the chat thing.
The only part I'm genuinely still confused about is the part where he says that he made the ID like monster to be a trap so that he would know if someone was working against him.
Right.
And I didn't know when he did that, because I was like, when did you do that?
I think they like go on the computer, right? And then I missed that too a little bit. I was like, oh, I guess that's what they were doing. But I missed like what made him think that she was a traitor then.
Yeah, yeah. Well, because she was affiliated with someone who had the ID that was like monster@nate.com or something like that.
Yeah, it scared the shit out of me, dude.
Hell yeah. That's the schizophrenia kicking in.
For real.
But
every copy of Old Boy's personalized. It felt a little messy, I think, and a little convenient at certain points, that I just like wasn't sure what was going on.
I think
like with yeah. the like with the messaging online thing, I was like, what is this?
You said that she had been chatting with that person for like years or like at least a while. She was like, it's just someone I talk to sometimes.
Yeah,
which
but
is funny because it's like a 50-year-old man with white hair, but yeah. like whatever.
I mean, there's an argument too that it was that the reason that I was so convoluted was to have them spend enough time together to fall in love. But they could also have just brainwashed them to like live together for a month and then, you know, yeah. it's like, why go
but
through
I think,
all these steps?
But
if,
I think a huge aspect of it that makes me not care about that is that like the guy's plan is like flawed from the beginning, because he's
yeah.
like not even right. He's like,
right.
his whole plan is basically like, yeah, if you like make someone insane and mentally unwell and then like fuck with them, they'll do what you want.
Right.
Basically. I mean, he's trying to prove that like love can come from anywhere. Like that's his like romantic image of it. Cause he's like, you know, given the correct circumstances, you can fall in love with someone you're related to, but it's just like, yeah, if
yeah,
you like literally,
it, yeah.
if you like break someone's brain and like imprison them for 15 years to the point that they like don't understand social interaction anymore, then yeah, you can do that.
Yeah.
So like that's the whole thing of it too, because I feel like that's intentional, because it's shown too in that moment where he's talking about why his sister died, because like his sister like very clearly like got pregnant.
Yeah, right. They had like, sex and like yeah. he kind of like coerced her into sex and then she
yeah.
got pregnant.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The whole thing is that the bad guy is torturing the main character because the bad guy way back in the day like fucked his sister, got her pregnant, and she killed herself because of it. And then he blamed the guy because he blamed the main character because the main character started the rumor that she was like a slut.
Right. Because he like saw it, right?
Yeah, because he saw yeah. it happening. But he like didn't even. His friend really did.
It wasn't even the rumor that she was a slut. It was the rumor that she had fucked his.
Yeah, yeah.
And, but the thing is, like, the way that he says it too, was that really her in there? And he's like, I think so. I don't know.
Yeah, yeah.
You know,
so
it wasn't even
clear,
concretely
yeah.
like, I know for sure they
yeah.
fucked.
Yeah, it's yeah. clearly like the whole thing is like the brainchild of the antagonist's like guilt that
right.
he feels over, because like what he did is fucked up.
Right, like, exactly. Well, that's yeah. the thing. Yeah, I think he kind of convinces himself. And I think that might be why the main character like doesn't. I mean, he was also brainwashed, can fuck with memories. So maybe he legitimately was brainwashed out of it. But
right.
the antagonist says something like, you just didn't remember it because it was so insignificant to you.
Yeah, but who knows if that's true?
But who knows like, if yeah. that's true? And but maybe it is, because in his thinking, he's like, he just kind of offhandedly mentioned it. Didn't know for sure if that's
yeah.
actually what happened. Maybe, but I feel like he would probably still put it together.
But that's the whole thing, is that, like, because he has that monologue where he says, like, he was like, yeah, it was a phantom pregnancy. Like, she started believing the rumors to be true, and it happened. Like,
right.
Like,
yeah, he has to, like, overblow it in his
come
head.
Come the fuck on, dude.
Yeah,
like,
right. And yeah. That's the thing, too. Like, it's not that she killed herself because of the bullying, because people thought she was a slut. He killed her because she was pregnant with his child.
Yeah. Yeah, you know? And who knows if he killed her or if she killed herself or something like that. Like, who knows what happened?
What do you mean?
Because, like, the implication from what we're shown is that she was killing herself. She was going to kill herself, and then he, like, tried to save her, and then, like, she fell out of his arms. But, like,
oh, my interpretation of that was that...
That he killed her?
That he killed her. That he was, like, dangling her over the water, like, trying to decide if he should do it, and that she... was also so ashamed of it that she wanted him to kill her.
Could be.
You know, I mean, that was mine, but maybe
he,
not.
There is the whole reason of, like, well, why was he there with her? Why wouldn't she just, like, kill herself alone? Like, why would she do that in front of her? Yeah, so, like, anything could have happened. And that's the best part, is that he's, like, convinced himself that he's, like, they're a victim of circumstance. They're, like, star-crossed lovers that, like, happen to be brother and sister. And then, like, when it's, like, so very clearly, like, he's just so, he's, like, fucked up.
Yeah,
and
right.
He's, like,
and he basically forced himself on her.
Yeah, but that's the whole thing. That's, like, one of the best parts of it, too, is that, like, he really proves nothing.
That's true,
and
yeah.
And that's, like, the best part of it, is that, like...
Because he did it all from his own volition.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I think because of the fact that the protagonist, like, grovels so much, it's really emphasized for him that in any normal situation, he would never have done anything like that.
Yeah, exactly. You know? Whereas, like, the bad guy did do that in a normal situation.
Right.
Where, like,
and, yeah, and I love that he realizes it. Because he has this line earlier where he says to the protagonist, like, you could kill me right now and end your revenge, or you could find out the truth. Because once your revenge is over, like, nothing is left for you. Wouldn't you rather find out the truth? And that's what happens to the antagonist, is that he goes through with his plan, the revenge is over, and then he's in the elevator with his own thoughts, and he's left with the truth. All he's left with is the truth that he's had the whole time.
Yeah.
And he, you know, blows his brains out.
Yeah,
and that edit is
so
fucking
good,
dude. Where he's holding her hand, he lets go, and he closes his three fingers, and his, you know, hand for a second is in the shape of a gun, and then you just hear the gunshot, and he slumps against the...
The physicality of that slumping, too, is
so
good.
Yeah, so fucking good.
All the acting is so fire. Yeah. It's just incredible. Go watch Oldboy right now. It's
really good, yeah.
It's fire.
The Spike Lee version.
Yeah. We're talking about the American version. Don't watch the Korean version. They don't know what they're doing.
Really good movie.
Yep.
Nate,
what would you give?
I think it was all a dream.
Yeah, me too.
I think he was in the field the whole time. But hey, I mean, what are you going to do? We just disagree.
He was just in a insane asylum. Nate, what would you give Oldboy? I mean, there's more to say.
I do have more to say, but we got to wrap up.
But we've been talking for a while. And also just go see it. It's just fucking great.
It's really good. Yeah.
The editing is fantastic.
Yeah.
It pulled from, like, a lot of different schools of film stuff, too.
Definitely.
There's, like, new wave stuff. There's nothing else, because I didn't pay attention to a lot of other parts of my classes. But, you know, you'll enjoy
it. Neo-noir influence, for sure. And I mean,
like,
that legitimately.
Like every movie we watch.
Basically, yeah.
Would you give it, Nate? It's going to be an 8. It's going to give it an 8 out of 10.
I'm going to give it a 7.5 to an 8.
You're a fucking loser.
To an 8. I'm not 100% sure. I think just sitting with, like, I loved it moment to moment. A lot of cool stuff. I think sitting with the plot afterwards, I was a little like, this could have been tighter.
I would watch it again with, like, a fine-tooth comb.
Yeah, honestly. I do want to see it again. That's the thing. It's not just like, it was good. I mean, 7.5 is a really good rating.
It is, yeah.
Yeah.
I'd give it a 9. Maybe, nice. maybe 9.5. It's just so... Yeah. The stuff that, like, I could totally understand why people might not like about it, it just doesn't bother me enough,
that's
really.
Fair, yeah.
And I feel like it establishes, like, a lot of rules in-universe that if you have the suspension of disbelief for it, it's just such a fucking great movie. It nails the tone. It nails the characters. You're just always feeling exactly what it wants you to feel.
Yeah, that's definitely,
like,
true.
And that's something that makes it feel like literally like no time is passing while you're watching it.
Yeah.
Like, you're always engaged.
It's really good. Yeah.
It's that's probably my favorite part about it. So nine and a half. Sweet, I'm going to give it a 9.5.
What's your half reservation? Curiosity.
Yeah, that's a good question.
I mean, you could say that about any rating, but I think when it's a 9.5, I'm like, there's gotta be something that's holding it back from the 10.
I mean, I guess because I'm still kind of confused about some aspects of the plot in the same way that I feel like I can't necessarily say it's like perfect. Airtight. But if I like, it could easily be a 10. It might just be a 10.
Yeah.
It's probably a 10.
Closer to a 6, but
it's probably in the top 3 movies I've watched over and over again. Like I may have seen it as many times as I've seen The Graduate and End of Evangelion. I think those are the movies I've seen like the most times.
Yeah. House and Raiders of the Lost Ark are my top 2. Yeah. All right, guys. Yeah. Thanks for listening this week. If you haven't already, Kisses. You can follow us on, anywhere where podcasts are. You can follow us on social media, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, I guess. I don't really update it that much. So next week, we're going to watch Birdman. Tyler's never seen it. One of my favorite movies, not to overhype it. It's one of those movies that when I watched it, I had no issues with it. I'd like to see if it holds up the second time around. I'm sure it will, but I haven't seen that movie in a while, and I'm excited to see it. All right, guys, we'll see you next week.
Bye.
See you next week.